When I fall, Lord, I know your grace will pick me up, Lord Jesus. And God, that we'll know that you're all that matters, Lord, in our lives, and that we'll focus our lives on you, God, because in reality, you're all that matters, Lord. Help the pastor speak your words and only your words, and not his, Lord, and that people will be touched by the words you speak today, Lord Jesus, and that we'll all come before you, God, and just worship you completely in this day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Morning. It's good to just be ministered to with music, and I think there's healing that happens, and I know that there's many of you that need that healing. Just, you know, like we were singing, we come broken, we come wondering whether God can still love us, if we're liars, or if we're sinners, and the answer to that is, yeah, he loves you so much. He never lets you go, he never forgets you. He's faithful. God is such a faithful God. Know that today. That his love is a love that endures forever. You cannot make God not love you. I don't know if you can understand all those negatives. God loves you no matter what. Not just you. He loves the world, the Bible says. That God so loved the world. Doesn't say for God just, you know, loved all the good people. No. God so loved the world that he sent his only son, Jesus. And this is a time today for us for healing and to come to Jesus and to seek that balm of Gilead, that healing power, and to know that we are restored. He's a restoring God. And just looking at some of your faces, even before church, but now too, I know there's some brokenness. I know there's some really hard things that you've been going through. Just know this. I mean, I don't have all the answers. I have hardly any answers. All I have is God's word. But I can tell you this, is that God really loves you. And that God is in control, even when things don't seem like he's in control at all. Even when terrible things happen, even when there's death or divorce or any number of sickness, any number of things, God holds you in his arms. He wants to do that today. The thing is, we tend to squirm out of his arms. He wants to hold us, but we're fighting and we want to get on our own. We don't want to be held by God. Today, just let him hold you. Let him put his arms around you. He's our redeemer. That means that he takes what is ugly and he makes it beautiful. And even when we don't understand, that's where faith comes in. We don't get it. I don't understand why some things happen. And it seems like lately there's been a whole lot of things that have been going on that are really ugly, really awful things. That's where faith comes in. We just keep standing on God and standing on his promises. And we need each other more and more, right? We hold each other up and we keep telling each other, keep going. Don't quit. Don't stop running the race. Keep it up. Attaboy. Let me pat you on the back. It's not done. He has not returned yet. Don't lose the faith. I'm going to just ask Kim to come forward at this time. And a good example, a lot of hard things have been going on in your life. And I asked Kim to speak today just to give a bit of a testimony of what's been happening and how hard that is. Because I really believe what Revelation says. Just give me a second, and you got the mic. But Revelation says that we overcome the power of the enemy. We overcome the dragon. We overcome the evil one through the blood of Christ, right? And the word of the testimony. And the word of the testimony just shuts him up. It just shuts him up. Kim, it's time for the word of the testimony.
Wow, I made it. I just love how faithful Papa is. And, you know, we don't battle against flesh and blood, the powers and principalities. And, so they were trying to stop me from coming here. I almost texted Pastor Stan. But I always hear that whenever someone comes up here, I always hear that they go through the same thing. So this is a powerful thing, giving our testimony. Because if it wasn't, then why would the enemy be so adamant to try to get us to stop giving our testimony? So here I am in my weakness, and when I'm weak, he is strong. So that's what I'm here to testify to you, that in my weaknesses, he is my strength. And that's the verse that just is the story of my life and probably your life, and that's 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And so that is completely what has happened in this year that, according to the world standard, would be a terrible, horrific, tragic year in my life. But man, I wouldn't be where I am today in the arms of Jesus, so close to him, if I didn't go through the fire. I wouldn't be here today with a circumcised heart. That through all of that, through Richard leaving and coming back, through being a single mom and dealing with the challenges and the sorrows that come with that, with my beautiful sister Cindy going home way too soon, seeing the pain and the darkness that the streets carry with drugs and alcohol and sorrow and depression, and on Wednesday, my wonderful and amazing nephew of 6 beautiful children was at work, 4:45, ready to go home, and he fell to his death, 20 feet. It was his time. We were at the hospital, and they came in and pronounced him dead, and then after, the nurses came running in and said, We found a heartbeat, we found a pulse, and so we were praising God, and then an hour later they came in again, and they said, sorry, but we tried everything that we could, but he fought. I've never seen anyone fight as hard as he did. For 2.5 hours he fought for his life, and so I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to be honest, I was like, God, what good can come out of this? A father of 6 beautiful kids, his youngest is 3 years old, and I'm watching my niece, Nicole, fall into pieces and saying, how do I go on without my best friend? How do I wake up and go on? I want to go home. And I understood every word and every pain and every tear that fell to the ground, and I questioned him. And he's all right with those questions. He's all right when we don't understand. He says, it's okay. You know, when a child is scolded for touching something hot, they don't understand. It's, you know, a beautiful red ember, and it's beautiful, and they want to touch it, but we don't let them touch it because we know. We know what's best. But the child isn't at the capacity to understand what's happening. And so God told that to me. He says, Kim, there's things in your life that you don't understand, that nobody understands, but that is where I ask you to put your trust in me. Put your trust in my love. Put your trust that I know how it all works out. That this tapestry, that this painting all works out to a beautiful masterpiece, and you're part of it. And every stroke is necessary, even the dark ones, even the ones that you think don't belong. But he says they're necessary because they complete the picture. And so When we are weak, he is strong. And in your weakness, his glory rests upon you. And that is the testimony I have for my family, that in the midst of all the trials, that his glory rested on me. And I can't take any credit for it. That's why I can't boast in anything, because people tell me all the time, Kim, you're so strong. And I'm like, that's the complete opposite. I am not strong. But he is strong in me. And because I'm weak, that's when he shines. And these are the verses that have got me through his promises. Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's present. He's there. He's right there when you're in trouble. He's present. He's not way up in heaven on his throne. He's present right beside you, holding you. He's present in your time of trouble. In Psalms 34:18, the Message version says, if your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. Right there. And if you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath. And that's how I felt every time I've found out somebody has passed away, or that when Richard left. And you know how that feels, you know, when you find out something and you feel like you're kicked in the gut and you're like, how do I go on? But God, he says, I'll be right there and I help you catch your breath. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, this verse has gotten me through my life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean upon your own understanding. You're not going to understand everything. You're not going to know what everything means, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And so when you acknowledge him, that means that you say, God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why my sister had to die on the streets of Red Deer. I don't know why she had to overdose from heroin when she's never done heroin before. I don't know why that you have decided that my husband has to leave and leave me a single mom to do this on my own. I don't understand why this has to happen. I don't understand why my nephew has to leave his 6 kids. I don't understand why. I don't understand why when I walk downtown and I see my friends dying, I don't understand why. But God, I trust in you. I trust in you. And I ask you to give me your eyes so that I can see. I ask you that you can give my eyes so that I can see what you're doing. And that's the wonderful thing, that even in the midst of the darkness, I see what he's doing in your lives. I see what he's doing in the lives of others. I think of Iris, what God does in her life, it just blesses me. I remember when I first met Iris in Barak Place, and I just see Jesus shining through her. I've never seen anybody grow so much, so quickly in the Lord, because she surrenders, and that's the key. And I see so many of you just being transformed by his love. Jody, I was just telling Rick the other day, I am so blessed at how much you have grown in Christ. I'm so proud of the man that he has brought you to be. And it's in his strength and in his power that you are the man that you are. And Richard, I'm just so amazed at what God has done in Richard's heart. And that was, I didn't have faith for it. I'm going to be honest. When God said, you know, if I brought Richard back, what would you do? I'm like, like, that's ever going to happen. That would take sacrifice for Richard, and Richard is very selfish, and that's just never going to happen. And, well, God sure proved me wrong. Even in my weakness of not having faith for it, he proved me wrong, and Richard came back a changed man. A new creation, born again, completely born again, that I didn't have faith for, but he had faith for me, and he's the one that did it. And I can't boast in anything, because he does it all. He does it all, even when I'm in doubt, even when I can't carry on, he picks me up. He picks me up, and he carries me. And so whatever you're going through, I know that you all are going through tough times, but no, it's producing something in you. It's producing his love. It's producing you to trust him. because in the end, he's all we got. In the end, he's all we got. And so if we trust in anything else but him, that's just going to pass away. It's going to fail us. It's going to disappoint us. But when we put our trust in him, we will never, ever be disappointed. So thank you for blessing me, and I just am so blessed to be a part of this family. And thank you for all of the support and all of the friendship and unconditional love that I've received from all of you. And thank you for being an expression of his love in my life. I love you all.
I want to pray. God, we need you, and such a good reminder of that, and it's true, Lord. There's so many times that it seems like life is unraveling, and we don't understand why. We don't understand why these things happen, but we trust you, and it really is all about trust, and it isn't about what we know. It's about what you know, and that we can put our faith in you, God. I pray for Kimberly that you'll keep her strong. I thank you for the ministries that she's involved in. I thank you for her love for people. I thank you that you speak so clearly through her. Let your grace and let your mercy rest upon her with abundance today. And we pray for Nicole today as she is struggling and grieving over her husband who's died and is left with 6 children. God, we lift her up in the name of Jesus right now. God, show yourself. Reveal yourself. Help her to turn to you and to trust you, Jesus. Even in the midst of this terrible event, this awful thing that's happened, you show yourself. And Lord, we take you at your word that you turn evil into good. So turn evil into good. Show yourself. You are God of revelation. Open her eyes and open our eyes to see you working, God, in this. And I pray for Rick and Kim too, God. Just bless this. Whatever is going to happen, Lord, wherever this goes, I thank you for changed hearts. And it's true, we don't sometimes have the faith, we don't believe things ourselves until you show us how good you are and what you're going to do. So again, Lord, like we've prayed before, we pray for Richard and Kim. I pray that you'll bless them, and Lord, that you will just join them, and that there will be trust and forgiveness and healing and all the things that need to happen, God. You are a faithful God. You never let us down. We need you today. And maybe that's the message more than anything else. We just need you. And I know there's lots of individuals, lots of people here who are sad and they're hurt and their hearts are broken. It's a good message we need to hear today, that you're there, that you never abandon us, that God is my refuge and my strength. He is my ever-present help in times of trouble. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I think we got just maybe time for some open this up a little bit. And maybe someone has a word of encouragement for Kim. Or if you can keep it short, that'd be great. Just what's God saying? What is God trying to say to us today? We come here to worship him. And sometimes we just have our own agenda and we want to just railroad through it all. Well, let's just stop for a minute. And if your hand is up and I don't say hi to you or I don't recognize you, it's not because I don't like you, but I'm just going to try to listen to what the Spirit of God says. So, Gord, you can start.
Keep it short, right? Yeah, thank you so much. I always talk to God, and in the last little while, I realized that he's informed me. You know, like, I mean, we as human beings, we like to hang on to things because we think we can have control over them. And the thing is that as soon as I let go, and okay, I have no control over this, if somebody comes to church or somebody doesn't come to church or if they quit drinking or don't quit drinking, I have no control over that, but I can pray for them. And as soon as I pray for them, I can let go. Right? And so I'm blessed. We are blessed with our little baby girl, Alyssa. And so within that, I know that the Lord speaks through me so much through my little baby. You know, like, I mean, she wants to crawl towards me, and so I tell her, come, you know, come. And she wants to, and she gets frustrated, and so she moves forward, but she's learning to push herself backwards. So she's sort of pushing herself on her bum, you know. And so God says, you know, Gordon, you are like that as well. You know, you're my child. You're my, you know, I created you. And so when it comes down to trusting me, come forward. Don't worry. Don't have fear. and I watch my little baby, and she gets frustrated because she wants to come to me, but she doesn't know how. And so when it comes to trust, it's just moving forward with God. When God says, let's move forward, he says, come with me, then I have to let go of those things and say, okay, I'm let go of fear and doubt that I can do this. He's given me the ability to do this. So I believe that that's what he's telling us. Don't worry about things. Give it to me, and I will take care of it, and you go on your day, and I will tell you what to do when the time comes. So that's one thing I pray for, right? It's just, what should I say? What do you want me to see? What do you want me to hear, Lord? My heart is here for Stan and for whoever I'm standing in front of. Tell me what you want me to say, right? So praise God.
Good word. Good word. Okay, Lloyd, can you stand up? I'll try to get to you here.
I know about death. Of all the members of my family that I grew up with, as of July 16th, I'm all that's left. Parents are long gone. Both my brothers are gone. I don't know how I'm still here. I don't know why I'm still here. This last time was really hard because Larry was all I had, and he was a better man than I am. He didn't have the Lord, but he was prettier, smarter, lived life a lot cleaner than I ever thought anyone could. He had a Bowflex in his bedroom and a dumbbell set, and cupboard full of supplements and real health nut. But the thing about death, you know, when you keep on surviving people and surviving people and surviving, stop going, what'd you do that for? And you stop going, why did you do it to me? and without God, then you go into this pity party where you lose yourself in your grief. With God, you don't go why so much as why not me, and you can't expect an answer. You cannot expect to be the next moment enlightened, if ever. But you know, the same thing that happened to me when I was deathly sick with cancer, there's some kind of level or peace that seems to rise up whenever you're in strife.
That's really what we need to hear today. And you've been through it. You know, how many years? 7 years since you were diagnosed with throat cancer? We prayed over you many, many times. And God, you know, I don't know why God has you here either, but there's a reason. And he's given you his peace, and he's healing you. Thank you, God. There is power. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Luke.
Hi. A long time since I've said anything, but I was in praise and worship here. We were worshiping the Lord, and I felt like the Lord saying, where are your eyes? And I felt like the Lord wanted me to ask that question here this morning. Where are our eyes? Are they on him, or are they on the stuff around us? Are they on who's doing what to who? Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. Actually, all the disciples saw Jesus, and they were all afraid. And but Peter was the only one that said, "Lord, if that's you, bid me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." And he had to get out of that boat in the middle of a storm and let go of the boat and start walking toward him. But his eyes were on him. But the minute he got his eyes off of him, he started to sink. And the Lord's saying, "Where's our eyes right now?"
Wow. We need to hear that. We need to hear that. Did you have your hand up? Okay, sorry. Ricky.
Good morning. I want to share something that happened to me in a thrift store. 3 or 4 weeks ago, I walked through the thrift store and through an aisle, and there was a lady all by herself, and I was all by myself. She came up to me with a shirt in her hand, and she said, "Cotton?" Or rather, katoen, in Dutch, I don't know. But she wasn't Dutch, so I looked at the shirt, and yeah, it's cotton. So I asked her some questions. She said, "Me? Russian." In other words, "I can't hear you, don't know what you say, but I'm Russian." And in broken English, she told me that she was here for a trip and going back to Russia. She was here for her daughter. And so we talked a little bit as far as we could, and I walked away. But the Lord said, "No, go back and pray for her." And he told me what to pray, and I got really kind of scared. I said, "God, this is, I don't know this lady, what am I going to do? Pray for her, go back." So I went back, and I said to her, "Can I pray for you?" Didn't know what I was saying. So I said, "Can I pray for you?" Didn't know. So I put my arm around her. "Come here, Stan." I put my arm around her and I prayed what God told me to pray. Jesus. Ask God for a revelation, that she will receive a revelation of who he is. Go back to Russia with that revelation and be a blessing all around her. And I prayed that. And I asked God to reveal himself to her in a way that only he can do. And a little bit more. But I must have used the word Russia in my prayer. Yeah, because it was amazing. When I was done praying, I looked at her face and it was shining. She understood in the spirit that something had happened. Yeah, it was amazing, amazing. And daily, almost, I pray for her because she went back to Russia. And I know for a fact that God touched her. You would have never asked this of me to do this. So I don't have to go the world over. And the world will come to us, right?
Wow, that's good. I like that. Just one sec. That's good. And doing what God asks us to do and to be obedient and to hear in our spirit, to listen in our spirit to what God's saying. And sometimes when he does that, we do things, you know, it sounds like a crazy thing that we would just go to a stranger and pray for them. But I know a number of you have done that before, and there's great fruit that comes out of that. And yeah, sometimes people think we're kooky, but I'd just rather do what God wants us to do and be obedient. Lynn, you're going to have the last word here.
I'd just like to say how much God is working in my life. I've opened a new chapter. Now I'm part of the kitchen help. Mm-hmm. And that's a job. Hey, come on now. But it's just what I'd like to say is, you know, these people that we consider, I'm dealing with my past by working with the homeless. I'm on the other side now. I no longer am homeless. And I'm feeding them. So I'm basically looking at myself in the mirror from the other side of the counter. And what I'm receiving, the joy that I am receiving personally, is I was afraid to take this position, like way back when. I'd go in and out, flutter around a bit. But now I've made a stance to the point of where, well, with God's help, he's given me the strength to deal with these people on a very on just a very simple level. And I'm finding the gratitude that comes back when you just be human to another human being. And, you know, the gratitude, show them love, show them compassion, give them a plate full of food and a smile, you know, and a good morning, and send, you know, then they're sent on their way. And I'm just noticing that just the gratefulness that comes back and the work that God is doing to make, you know, to make this functionable, and just and the happiness that I'm experiencing, and the seeing the smiles on their faces too. I mean, that's just God working through the whole place all the way around. And the mentality that he's giving me, which I didn't have before, like, you know, like I said before, I was really, really sick. But my mentality now, it just feels like my brains are so well put together. I'm just so grateful that the Lord has, you know, that the Lord is working in my life, and that I'm a part of this church, and I get to be with you wonderful people all the time. I just like to say thank you.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that encouraging? That's encouraging. And just got to just tell this quick story that about a month ago, Lynn used to be on the streets, and you're not anymore. You became a Christian, you were baptized, and gave your life to the Lord, and now you're working in the kitchen. But you told me this story that about that years and years ago, when you didn't like me, I don't know exactly why, I probably gave you reasons, but she said, I used to throw rocks at your truck when you left. I always wondered why there are dents in the back of that tailgate, so now I know why. I know there's more that have their hands up, but I want one more person to have an opportunity, and then we're going to let the word get spoken. Come on, stand up a minute. Tell us who you are.
My name is Dane.
Dane.
New here. I don't know, in Kim's speech, I heard a lot of whys. Why, but at the end there, I almost heard the answer. And I'm not really myself familiar with death, but I am familiar with challenges. And I don't know if you just if everything went right and you just had success and you just went on, you'd just leave the world behind. You'd become ignorant to it and you'd forget that it's there because everything's going right for you. But when things go wrong, you gotta get over these challenges and you gotta get smarter than them. And in the end, it makes you a better person. So like you said there with the painting, the dark with the light to make the masterpiece, but it makes you the better person, all these challenges.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dave. Thank you. Last week, I had a chance to pray with Dane. I hope you don't mind me saying this. I liked what you said. And you said, I am changing from the one side, I'm changing to the other side. I'm no longer going to be I'm not going to belong to that dark side. I want to belong to the other side, to the side of light. You are here. You're supposed to be here. We need you here. And God is going to use you, Dane, in amazing ways. Amen? All right. Ted is going to bring the message this morning. And just before he does that, just a couple announcements. One is there's going to be a women's supper. Arlene, you want to just stand up and share, just real briefly so that people might know, just in case someone doesn't know about this on Tuesday night?
I'm having a supper here at the church at 6 o'clock at night, just for the ladies, sorry guys. You're to bring dessert for two people. You can bring a friend. And two articles of clothing. We're going to do a clothes exchange here, and then any clothes that are left, we're going to take down the street to help out the ladies down the way. If you don't have clothes that you can't give away, or dessert, or anything like that, that's fine. Still keep coming. Come. Bring your friends so that you can have encouragement with them here. We're going to play a few silly games, and we're just going to have fun and get to know each other.
Okay, I like it. That's a kind of fellowship. We were talking about fellowship last Sunday and how important that is. And if you're feeling like you don't know very many people, here's a good way to get to know people. So come here at 6 o'clock. There'll be supper. Okay, 6 o'clock supper. It's a great way to get to know each other. And there'll be a a men's thing happening sometime too, I'm sure. We'll probably watch football or do something else. The last thing, just before I pray for Ted here, is just a real note of gratitude for, we had a lot of people here yesterday to help clean the church. And I promise you, we cleaned this thing from top to bottom. We cleaned all the dust. We had people working until there were sweat dripping off. There was 30, 35 people here. That was an awesome, awesome time. Yeah, that was great. This is the cleanest church in town. But it's not the building that really matters. I don't know. It's got our insides, right? Let's make sure that our hearts are clean as we've tried to work at this church. Is something that I was thinking about yesterday. We need to work just as hard at living righteously. It was just a real encouragement. You know, you come to these things sometimes and you think, oh, there's going to be maybe five or six of us. And I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty, although if anyone wants to wash my truck later, you can. And that'll help you feel better. You don't need to feel guilty, because we were here with a lot of people and we just had a great time of fellowship. And we want to make this place a place where people are free to come to, but where they're comfortable here too, and the Spirit of God is in this place. Brother Ted, would you stand up? I want to just pray for you. Thank you, God, for your word and for this preacher of your word, that he would speak truth today and that we would be edified and blessed as your Spirit communicates through him and through the gifts that you've given him. We pray for him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm just going to get this little stand down here so I can put my Bible on it. It's been a long time since I've done this. Why don't we just pray for a bit? Holy Spirit, I just want to thank you today that you're here. And Holy Spirit, it's so neat that you chose to live in human beings. I want to just confess today, Holy Spirit, you're a genius. You do all things well. You're good at everything you do. And you do it voluntarily, and you're willing to pass on everything you know to us, so that we can do the things that you have in store for us. And so I just thank you today for the great life you've given us to live. Whether we understand it all or not is secondary. The thing is that we are living it, and we can be guided by you and accomplish the things that you have determined for us to do. And we just thank you. Thank you for being here today, Holy Spirit. We just ask you to touch each one of us in a meaningful way, so we can leave here enriched and encouraged. And we give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know about how you feel about church or your Christian life, but I'm pretty excited about my life. I think we're living in probably the most awesome time in the history of the church. I believe God is building up a church, a powerful church, a victorious church, one that knows their God and does exploits. And I'm really excited about that, because I'm really not a spectator. I really don't enjoy being a spectator, except when it comes to football. I'm an armchair quarterback. I think I could have helped Saskatchewan Rough Riders win a lot of games. I'm in Alberta now, but Saskatchewan's still a little bit in my heart. But it's fun to be alive. It's a great day to be in the church. And I believe God wants us to understand what he's doing in the church. I believe that God has got plans for us that far exceed our imagination. He said he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. And I've got a pretty good imagination. And he can go way beyond that. He can go way beyond that. You know, I was just listening to Kim give her testimony today. And the first thing that came to my mind when I heard that this fella had passed away, and he's got a family and six kids, this story came to me out of the Bible, how Jesus was walking down the road one day and he came upon this funeral procession, and this gentleman was crying. So he stopped the whole procession And he says, "What's going on here?" And so they explained it to him, and he laid his hands on this person. And they came alive. And he gave this son back to his mother. And then the next thought that came to me, I mean, this is all happening here this morning, sitting in the chair. The next thought that came to me was the words that Jesus said. He said, "The works that I do, you will do. And greater works will you do." So I'm saying, God, what will it take for me to be that guy? Don't you want to be that person? I mean, the Bible said it. It says, "The works that I do, you will do." I want to do that. I'm actually driven to do that. I just want to be that guy. It's so important. And Jesus has said he's coming back for a glorious church, a victorious church. One that, Jesus said, "For this reason I was sent, that I might destroy the works of the evil one." And I thought, wow, he's empowering us. He's empowering us to be Jesus on this earth. I believe with all my heart. As I was preparing what I wanted to share, what I felt the Lord wanted to share to me, I was reminded of what Pastor Stan said yesterday. He says, you know, our last Sunday, he says, "We're not following a man, we're following Jesus." And he held up his big black Bible. He was standing right there and he was shaking his big black Bible. You know how he does that, eh? And I'll never forget that. I was reminded that we're not coming to a church to follow anything. We come here because we have Jesus in our heart and we want more of him. And whenever, it's been my experience, for those of you who don't know, I pastored, I was a senior pastor of a church for 10 years. I find it just a complete privilege to be able to just come to church with absolutely zero responsibility, sit down there and have a really good Sunday morning and go home. Yeah? And if you don't like it, you say, "Oh, Stan must have been having an off day or something." No. I mean, that's what they used to say to me about me all the time. And I just find it, I almost feel guilty coming to church sometimes because I just sit there. For 10 years, I was responsible for everything. It was a small church. There isn't one position in a church I haven't held. Because when you're in a little church in the country, you're everything. I got there early, shoveled the snow. It's just such a privilege to just come to a place like this and just sit and hear the word, and worship happens and messages happen, and I really don't have to do anything. That's really neat. And so we need to sometimes just sit and count our blessings, you know. If things are going really good, maybe Pastor Stan ought to hear about it, except when things are going really bad, you know. And so it's because God is coming to do something in the church. This is what I want to talk about today, is where are we at in the history of the church? What's happening? What is God doing? I know whenever God starts doing things in my life, I sort of, you know, like, we don't like change that much. I don't know about you, but we really don't like change that much. Because it's a fact that everybody comes to church and sits in the same chair every Sunday. It's true. We do. I know for a fact that Pastor Stan could come in here blindfolded and pretty much tell everybody where they're sitting. You don't even have to ask anybody if somebody's missing. You just look. Oh, that chair is empty. Those people are gone. So when God comes to do change in our lives, we resist it sometimes. We just don't like change. But I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll start there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're living in very exciting times. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. It's just one verse I want to read there right now. It says, "Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers." I want you to know today that there is two different things that happened to you as a human being. When you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he brought you out. This verse is talking about coming out of taking the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and bringing them into the promised land. And it says he brought us out so that he could bring us in. And I'm telling you what, we want to, everybody seems to know where they came from, but where we're headed to and what's coming up, people are not quite aware of that as they are about where they came from. And so we all know about the being brought out. But today I want to talk to you about the being brought in. We're being brought into something because God has chosen us and ordained us to bear a lot of fruit. He wants us to come into something. And it's important that we understand where we're going. God wants to show us today where we're going. We have to walk by faith, I understand that. But then God wants us to focus properly. I think Luke said it really good today. He says, "Where are our eyes?" And I think that's the important. What are we focusing on today? Are we focusing on how hard our life is today? Or are we focusing on all the things we don't like? Or are we looking to God to see where we're headed? Because if I know I have a future and a hope, then today isn't so bad. I can overcome today if I know tomorrow holds a promise. But if we walk without promise and without hope, then every day's drudgery because there's no future, right? Or you don't know your future. But here the Word of God says, and he brought us out so that he could bring us in to a land which he swore to our fathers. And I want to talk to you today about the land that we get brought into. It's a when we talk about change in the church, it's how should I say this? It's I know I've said it for years myself. I always believe the church needs to change. I believe the church needs to become more powerful. I think it needs to become this. I think it needs to become that. And whenever we do this, our focus right away turns away from ourselves. What do you think of? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word the church? So who is the church? Now, are we talking about Potter's hands? I don't think so. When God refers to the church, when the Bible refers to the church, when he's coming back for a glorious church, the Bible says that we are the church. You and me are the church. So whatever God is doing, if you want change in the church, what you're actually praying for right now is change in yourself. Isn't that good? I just want to show you a couple of scriptures that prove that point. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It's really important that we understand what God wants to do. He brought us out so that he could bring us in. And that means change. If we listen to our language sometimes, we'll go and say, "Well, how's your walk with the Lord? How's your walk with the Lord doing today?" You know? What do we actually mean by that? What happens when you walk? This isn't a trick question. Yeah? Exactly. In order to walk, if you're walking, that means you're leaving where you're at and you're going somewhere else. And as we walk with the Lord, we leave certain things behind and we move on to things that are new. So our environment ought to always be kind of changing. In our mind, we always ought to be seeing new things. We ought to be seeing into the future, into the distance, because we're walking. So things are not always static in our lives. Things are actually changing and moving. And the church is us. We are the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I was there. I really like this church. I like coming here. I'm glad God led me here. 6 verse 19. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and he lives inside you? You are the church. God lives inside of you and me. We are the church. So when God's coming to make change in the church, and I believe he is, that means he's changing us. And we want to go from glory to glory. I don't know about you, but I want to improve in my Christian walk. I want to become more powerful in my Christian walk. And I want to do exploits. I think in Ezekiel, it says, those who know their God shall do exploits, and those with understanding shall teach many. I like to understand what God's doing. I don't want to just do exploits by accident. I want to, on purpose, defeat the works of the enemy and be able to train somebody behind me to do it or beside me to do the same thing so that we can become the army that God wants. We are the church. And I believe in the past, I know as I was pastoring a church, I was the leader and everybody followed me. That's basically how it worked. And one time I was complaining about this, and I remember walking home from church one Sunday afternoon in the small town of Pangman, Saskatchewan. Anita and I were walking home, and I said something that really changed my life. I looked at Anita, and I said, you know, if I wasn't pastor in that church, I wouldn't attend. I seriously would not go there if I wasn't the pastor. And she sort of just looked at me, thought I was having a bad day. And that got me thinking, what am I doing? Or where am I going? Like, who are you following? I really like what Pastor Stan said last Sunday. Because it's so easy to follow a man or a woman or a group. Because then if things go wrong, you just blame the group. You just blame the leader, right? Well, I was just following him. He must have gone the wrong way because now I'm going the wrong way. And God showed me that the whole structure of the church would begin to change at that time. That was about pretty close to 8 years ago when he started showing me that the structure of the church was going to start to change. And now what was going to happen, instead of, like, I grew up in the country on the farm, and I know we had cows, and they'd go to the pasture, and they'd come in and they'd follow each other in. You know, there was the lead cow, and the rest would just fall in behind, you know. And actually, what they would always do, they'd leave behind a packed trail through the pasture. Nothing would grow there. No grass would grow there, nothing. All there was dust and droppings. You know what I mean? And the Lord showed me that's basically the way the church was working. If all you do is follow a leader, then that's what's going to happen. You're just going to cut one trail through the world, you know? And the people walking down the back of the trail are going to be in the dust, and they're not going to know what's really going up in the front of the pack. And you want to get to the front of the pack because the air is better up there, you know? There's all kinds of reasons for not wanting to be in the back of the pack. But God showed me that he was going to change that, and the leadership of the church was going to be more like a search and rescue mission where people come and they get equipped and they walk shoulder to shoulder. Now instead of following one another, we're going to start walking shoulder to shoulder. Everybody's going to be given an assignment, and we're going to walk beside each other, and we're going to beat the bushes, and we're going to find the lost. Jesus said to go and seek the lost, seek and save the lost. And that doesn't happen by walking in single file. We need to walk shoulder to shoulder. The church is going to become powerful. It's going to be going everywhere. We'll find ourselves maybe in the bar some Friday or something. We may find ourselves, who knows where you're going to find yourself if you start following where God wants to go. And as we go shoulder to shoulder, we will have a command center that looks after us. How are you doing over way over there, you know? Do you see how search and rescue is just such a much better system than just follow the leader? Follow the leader is a lot easier for the leader, because there's a lot less risk because you've already been there and you know exactly where they're walking. But in search and rescue, you don't always understand what's all out there. And you have to walk by faith. But I want you to know today that the change that's coming to the church is coming to you because you are the church. And this is awesome. So you can all be excited. You don't have to wait for Pastor Stan to make some major change in his direction in life. You can follow Jesus. And if he changes your direction, then go. Because it's going to be exciting what happens in the church. You know, the Bible says when we come to church, everyone has a hymn, everyone has a psalm, everyone has a testimony of some kind. You know, it's pretty hard to drum those things up if you're just following a guy down the street. It's a lot more interesting if you're out there doing what God wants you to do and you come back with a testimony and it strengthens our faith. I get strengthened by listening to what other people are going through. I haven't gone through, like I grew up in a very sheltered religious Christian home. I come from a Mennonite family of seven kids. We were on the farm. We were taught to work. We always had food. We always had clothes. We were considered wealthy people. And we were never short of anything. So I don't understand, really. I don't understand hardship as a child. But when I listen to other people, you know, I just see the responsibility I have for just helping, for just being there. You know, sometimes listening is worth more than talking. And so sometimes the guy just has to listen. But we are the church, and we're the church that God's coming. You are the church that God's coming to empower and to equip. And I find that so exciting today. In Ephesians, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 19. I love my Bible. It's the most precious book I've ever read. So the first thing I ever did when I got saved is I read the Bible cover to cover. I sat down and I read the whole Bible because I had heard somewhere it says, I think David said this. He says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." So I thought I'd take the whole word and just read it. So I had it in me somewhere. And then I also read a verse that said, "Don't worry about what to say. At the right time, God will recall what you have to say." And I figured, well, if he's going to recall it, then it's got to be there, right? So I figured if I read the whole Bible, I had it in me, and he could recall whatever he wanted to recall. And so I like reading the Bible. I still enjoy reading the Bible. It's just great. So I want to start at verse 19, Ephesians 2:19. It says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets." Pastor Stan said that about that last Sunday. He was talking about building yourself upon the teaching of the apostles and prophets. "Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building," that's all of us put together, "get fitted together and we grow up into a holy temple in the Lord." When we all get together and we're all going shoulder to shoulder and we're all pulling our own weight, we get built together into a holy temple of the Lord. Isn't that cool? "In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." We are being united together. God is speaking to each one of us and building us up so that we can be united together into a place where God can dwell. So when we all walk in here on Sunday morning, the presence of God has no problem just pouring itself out here, pouring himself out on us, because we are the temple of God and he lives in us. And I just sort of read. The Bible says the one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. So if you have the whole church pulling together and you do the math, if one will do 1,000, two will put 10,000. There's about 60 or 70 of us in here today. If you do the math, that's pretty powerful. I like being real practical, and I always like figuring out the odds. You know, I remember a Jehovah Witness coming to witness to me at my door one time, and he wanted me to join. And I says, "Don't you believe that there's only..." I says, "Your faith somewhere along the line believes that only 144,000 are going to make it to heaven. Is that right?" "Yeah, something like that." I said, "Well, there's already 4 million of you. What are my odds?" And so he's a little mad at me about that. But I was just, let's be practical. What are my odds? And I'm always thinking of what are my odds of becoming everything that God wants me to be? Like, I'm dead serious about my faith. My salvation is probably the most precious thing that I have. I am so thankful that I'm born again. And that sin no longer has any dominion of me, over me. I'm free. I am like free. If I do something wrong today, it's because I chose to do it. The devil didn't make me do it. I did it. I chose to do it. I'm free. I can go and drink all I want. You know what the problem is? I don't want to. I never used to have that freedom. I was hooked. I had to get up in the morning and I had to make sure there was enough booze around to make it through the day and night. I couldn't sleep a whole night without drinking. I kept my whiskey in the fridge so that it was cold. So at 3 in the morning when I got up, I could just chug a bunch and go back to bed. And you know something? That wasn't a choice anymore. That was something I had to do. I was bound. But today I'm free. And I just cherish that freedom. I don't want to be hooked on anything except Jesus. And it's so neat. I found out too that I can't do it on my own. I need you. I do. I need to be part of a body. Because you know what happens if you think you're a lone ranger? This is what's going to happen to you. Somebody explained it to me this way. When you throw a bag of briquettes into the barbecue and you light them all up, and they're all nicely burning, if you pick one up and put it to the side, which one do you think is going to go out first? Yeah, it stays a lot hotter in the barbecue than you will on the side. And I never want to be that lone ranger just burning out on the side somewhere, because you know what happens? As nice as you look, just as sure as you're sitting here, you're going to burn out. And the rest of the church will still be on fire. So I just want you to understand that we need one another. You need to come in. Everybody is unique. There is nobody else who can replace you for what God's called us to do. If you don't do what God wants you to do, it isn't going to get done. And so we need one another. And I always see this picture of this glorious church, this bride, Jesus coming for this bride. And I always just see the bride wearing this nice wedding dress. And when she pulls up her dress a little bit, she's wearing army boots. That's how I see the church. I may look pretty, but don't mess with me. I can drop you, devil. Let's start thinking about how great God wants us to be instead of how rough life is. Man, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm always above, never beneath. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For this reason I was sent on this earth, that I might destroy the works of the evil one. Jesus said it, and he left it up to me. He went to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit to come live inside of me. I was thinking about that the other day, and I just had to get a little chuckle, because it says sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought to, but the Holy Spirit helps us with groanings that can't be uttered. And I figured, I know why the Holy Spirit's groaning. He has to live in me for another day. I'm thinking, yeah, Jesus, he's seated up at the right hand of the Father, and he makes intercession for me. Holy Spirit's saying, how come I didn't get that spot? Now I got to live in Ted. No. So, but you know, we are empowered, and we need to be excited. If a Christian can't be happy, who can be happy? Who can be more cheerful than a Christian? I mean, we have, you know, I read the end of the book. We win. We win. It doesn't matter what we're going through today or how we feel, we win. I don't understand everything God does, and that's probably a good thing. Because if I'd have known what I'd have had to go through when I moved to Alberta, I wouldn't have come. I'll tell you that right now. I was retired. I had it all figured out. I had my house. I had my little pension was coming in. I wasn't going to have to work anymore in life. I had it. I was done. I didn't want to pastor anymore. I was finished. And then I got this invitation, and here I came. I thought, oh, yeah, I'll just sell my house, and I'll go buy another one. And I've been in Alberta for a year and a half, and I'm still homeless. That's a little hard on my pride, to be quite honest with you. It is. That's never happened to me in 65 years. I'm sure glad my dad's gone to heaven, because if he saw me, he sure wouldn't be impressed. But hey, I don't understand everything, but you know something? I'm just totally grateful I'm standing right here right now. I just am. I've met people I would have never met had everything worked out what I would call right. I mean, there's only one Gaston in the world. So God's rebuilding. God's rebuilding. I just want to encourage you with another thing here yet in Jeremiah chapter 18. This is what started this whole message off for me, actually. God is always in the process of changing me. For some reason or other, when I get a revelation and I start walking in it, and it seems like I use whatever I know of God to be my plateau, and I walk on it, and I get comfortable on this plateau, and then just about the time when I think, oh, this is really good, God says, okay, now we're going up. Really? This is good. I'm productive here. Everything's working good. I want to go up. And I was reading, and the Lord led me to Jeremiah chapter 18. And I just want to read some of it, starting at verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. That was just like I sort of woke up at night, and did you say potter's hands? I thought, okay, well, that works for me. I've heard God here too. But I was just reading this. And I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. This is okay. God, if there's something about me you don't like, please change me. I pray that quite often. This is basically how I pray. I have a pretty good relationship with God, I think. And I said, Lord, I got a feeling something's going to change. And I said, no matter how much I squall and bawl and bellyache, please don't stop. Keep going, because I want to be what you want me to be. And so when I was reading this, it said, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And I'd never seen this before, that the marring took place in the hand of the potter. So I want to encourage you today. If you've messed up your life, or you think you've messed up your life, and you're a child of God, then I want you to know that it happened in the hand of the potter. He said he would never leave you or forsake you, even when you screw up, right? So in the hand of the potter, it says the pot was marred. And it says, and here's the most beautiful words you'll ever hear if you were ever messed up. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good for the potter to make. Isn't that good news? So he made it again. He didn't throw the clay out and says, I'm going for better clay. He made it again. as he saw fit. And you know, that fits right into all you can read about restoration in the church. King David wrote this psalm, and he says, you know, he leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He is a master of restoration. He's restoring everything. And I'm telling you what, he's coming to restore his church, to be that powerful bride, that victorious church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming to do it. And he's going to do it. Man's not going to do it for you. He's coming to your house today. Or he may be there already. And what he wants to do is not take anything away from you. He just wants to change you and give you what he sees is your potential. I want to live up to the potential God placed inside of me. I really do. I will do anything for that. And I have. I've done some things that people thought were really crazy. Like the day I took an invitation to go to India. I talked to a guy twice on the phone and told him I'd come. I get off in this airport and there's 7 million people, a city of 7 million people, Hyderabad, India. I said, how am I going to know you when I get there? I'll be carrying a stick with your name on it. So when I got into that airport, all I recognized in that whole airport was my name on a piece of cardboard on the end of a stick. And I went with this man. My daughter says, Dad, you're crazy. Some of those people, you know, how do you know who this guy is? I said, I don't. I just feel like I'm supposed to go. So I did. Led countless people to the Lord, got a bunch of people healed, just because one day I just said, yeah, I'll do it. You know, and I really believe that God's going to start knocking on some doors here, on some hearts, and saying, I've got something really outlandish for you to do. You know that wild imagination you have? This is exceedingly abundantly above. I didn't want to go to India, I'll tell you that. I just heard it's really hot there, and it's scary. But I'm glad I did, because I got to meet a lot of precious people there, and God used me there. And I know that God wants to use the church. God is coming back for us. This is what I want you to understand today, that God loves you, he cares for you, and if you were messed up, I want you to know what happened in his hand. While he was working on you, something didn't work out right, and he did it again. And he's making you into another vessel. And it's going to be better than the first one that he originally intended. He does not, he is not discouraged. Jesus, God, has never been discouraged about anything that we've ever done. Because he knew it before we were born. He knew what was going to happen. And he already had the plan all set out for us. And you know, there's going to come a day. Like, I just sort of do mental surveys. If the churches in this city were to close, how many would miss them? How many of them would really be missed? Like, would there be a big write-up in the paper about, oh, God, what are we going to do? The church closed. God's coming to change that. Because we're going to be the place where people are healed, delivered, and set free. We're going to be the place where people come when they got problems. We're going to be known as people who have been with Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. And I'm excited. I'm just really excited. If you're sitting here today and you're feeling kind of awkward and you're feeling like, oh, things just aren't working for me. And I don't know whether I belong in this church. And things just aren't going all that good, you know. You know what I'm talking about? Do you ever get that way? If you say no, you're all liars. I wake up in the morning and look in the mirror sometimes and say, oh, no, do I have to live with that guy again? No. Let's be honest. There's days when it just doesn't seem to be working for us. I would encourage you, don't do anything crazy. Wait. God is changing you into something beautiful. Pastor Stan said last Sunday. He said, if you're here, you belong here. Don't leave. One thing I've noticed, whenever God starts moving in the church, for some reason or other, it starts to empty out a little bit. To me, that's always a good sign that God's on the move, and I just encourage you not to go. I just want to close with this one illustration, and it's the story of the 10 virgins. They were sitting there waiting for the bridegroom. There was a wedding taking place, I guess, and there was 10 of them, 10 gals sitting on a bench, and all of a sudden the call came, and 5 of them jumped up, and they were ready, lit their lamps, and went in. The other 5, they weren't ready. Sitting on the bench, they all looked the same. They were all dressed for the party. 5 got to go to the party and 5 didn't. I just want you to just let God get you ready. I would hate for you to miss the party, because what's coming down the pipe, I believe, is bigger than anything we've ever dreamed of. I do. God loves Red Deer. And he's going to use whoever's willing to want to be used to do exploits on the streets of Red Deer. We need to put a stop to all this pain and sorrow on the streets of this city. Jesus can do it, you know. And he said it was Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ isn't going to walk down the street by himself anymore. He's going to be in you and in me. That's how he's going to do it. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, if you read the story of the dry bones in Ezekiel, and Jesus asked Ezekiel, can these bones live again? You know, sometimes you look, God, can I really get back on track? And I like Ezekiel's answer, you know. He didn't commit to anything. He just said, you know. And then God said, okay, well, you do this and this. You speak this. You speak that. And you command this, and you prophesy to this. And I'm telling you what, if you've got areas in your life that aren't working, I would have challenged you today to start speaking to them. Instead of speaking to God about your mountain, why don't you speak to your mountain about God? Huh? Amen. Yeah. If you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. It doesn't say if you shall say unto God about this mountain. It says if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatever you say. You're a product of your words. Put God's word in your mouth and let your lips do their work. And we're going to change. And we're going to have fun. What a blast to come to church and say, oh, yeah, hey, I heard you raised that guy from the dead last week. How did that go for you? Hallelujah, yeah. I said, there was a guy walking with one leg the other day, and now I see he's got 2. Was that you too? Yeah. We're going to start having good testimonies. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, and the works that he did, we can do. Hey, so don't get discouraged. God's not done with you yet. You're still on the wheel. Yeah, we're still on the wheel. And God's got his hand on the wheel. Just stay soft. And it'll all work out for us. God bless you guys. I love you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Let's all stand up. We're going to pray. Stand together. Lord, we stand as one. We stand as one in your hands. Thank you for your word and for the reminder that we are the church and that you live in us through the Spirit of Christ who reigns in us. Thank you, Jesus. And that you call us to just live for you the way you want us to live, and that you have great and amazing things that you want to do with your bride. And we stand before you this morning saying, use us then, Lord. Just do what you want. Have your way. We want to see the army boots on. We're dressed and we're adorned beautifully, but we have army boots on, and we are marching into battle. We are soldiers of your cross. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you that we're encouraged to live for you and that we don't need to be in despair. I pray for great unity here, that we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and that we are led and directed by your Spirit, and that each one is using the gifts. God, we've heard many important truths today. Help us to follow and to live for you in everything that we do. Thank you, Jesus. We wait for the amazing things that you want to do. And truly, you have empowered us. We have the power of Pentecost. We have the power of your Holy Spirit. And we just need to avail ourselves of that power, God. And we do pray for people who are lost and broken and addicted and overdosing and all that stuff, God. We're going to see those changes. We need to see those changes, Lord. According to your word and to your will. Bless us as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to give you the greeting or the benediction. I know it's time to go. Receive this from God today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. God bless you. Amen. Go ahead.